Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. He destroyed the enmity that is in our flesh. There is an enmity in our flesh that makes us clash with one another, husband and wife, wife and husband. That's why whenever people get married, every marriage, in the early days and years, there's conflict. And that's why whenever newly married people get newly married, I always tell them, two most important lessons in marriage is, forgive, ask forgiveness quickly and forgive quickly. Ask forgiveness quickly, forgive quickly. And never go to bed without settling matters. Never go to bed angry with each other. This is how we are building the second story. Now, you may not accomplish this overnight. You can. It's very easy to ask forgiveness. It's only pride that prevents some person from saying, I'm sorry, that was my mistake, please forgive me. How can we do it better? I'm sorry, that was my mistake, please forgive me. How can we do it better? You try saying it. Very, very difficult for those words to come out of your mouth. They'll get stuck in your throat somewhere there. But that's one of the secrets of happiness in the early years of marriage. And as you go on in married life, you become more willing to recognize that I'm an imperfect person, married to an imperfect person. And if I think there are so many peculiarities in this partner of mine that I have to bear with, please remember there are equally great peculiarities in you that he has to bear with or she has to bear with. And if that person is keeping silent, you can also keep silent. Otherwise, you think that you're the only one who's bearing with problems in the other person. No, he's bearing with problems with you, and she's bearing with problems in you also, brother. So don't be taken up with how much you have to bear with your partner. So our family life is very important. You can't build a church. You can't have a glory in the church before you have glory in your personal life and glory in your home. Then we have the glory in the church. So it's very, very important to build a home. That's why we have so many meetings for families in all of our CFC conferences. Very, very important. Husband and wife must learn to live together and be an example. It won't come overnight. It may take many years, but determined to get there. You know how some people go to the Gulf or work in different places, and for years and years and years they are saving money. Many of you have done that. And finally, maybe before you retire, you build a house. And you're so happy. You saved enough money to build a house for your retirement. Isn't that wonderful? In the same way, work in your marriage. Save, save, save. Like the person saves and saves and saves. Slowly, 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 you come to a life of happiness together. A little taste of heaven on earth. It takes time. You can't start building a house the very first year you started earning your salary. No. But you save a little bit, save a little bit, save a little bit. Finally, you got your house. How many years it took? Some of you took many years to build your own house. In the same way, to build a good family life, be patient. Just like you're patient to save and save and save and save. Deny yourself and deny yourself and deny yourself. One day you'll have a wonderful heavenly married life. Even then, there may be the occasional slip up. Don't worry. But your marriage will be more like heaven than like hell. So very important that in our church, we have godly homes. The strength of a church is not the number of people that sit there, but the quality of the homes that constitute that church. How good are these homes? Not perfect homes, but homes that are pressing on to perfection. That are saving up money to build a perfect house. That are pressing on to humble themselves and ask forgiveness from one another. And in the home, the other thing is the way we bring up our children. We want another generation to grow up carrying on the same truths. And there's a great law in Scripture. Either Scripture is right or it's wrong. If you believe Scripture is right, it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now you can say, well, we can't say that will be true of all children. Some children are different. Then it should be train up a child in the way he should go, and some of them when they are old will not depart from it. Some may depart from it, but that's not what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. You train them up in a particular way, in godlessness, they will become godless. You train them up in a godly way, they will become godly. Now, don't give me examples of exceptions to the rule. You're contradicting scripture then. I want to tell you, let God be true and what? Every man a liar. That's what it says in Romans chapter 3. Let God's word be true and every other testimony people give is a lie. Train up your children when they are young and start when they are 1 year old. Teach them to obey. Teach them to speak the truth. They may have ups and downs. Of course they'll have ups and downs. We all had it. They'll struggle a bit, particularly in their teenage years and 20s. There'll be some struggles, and all children, some rare children escape it. But otherwise there will be that rebellious teenage spirit in some, maybe your daughter or your son. But in those are the years when you should be their friends. Don't just rebuke them and shout at them. Hug them and kiss them and love them and pray short prayers with them. Don't pray long prayers with your teenage difficult boys and girls. Just short prayers. Lord, just bless my little daughter or bless my son. That's enough. And love them. They're going through this up and down stage and say, I'll never be disappointed with you, my girl. My son, I'll never be disappointed with you. I don't care what you do. There's nothing you can do that can make you stop me from loving you. Whatever you may do, it'll never stop me from loving you. Impossible. You know, we must say good things to our children. They face a world where they hear negative, negative, negative things in their school. Sometimes they're not good looking and other people look down on them. People bully them in school. Where should they get encouragement? At home. Do we encourage them? We rebuke them, correct them. I believe we must correct them, and 10 times for every correction there must be 10 encouragements. Very often it's the other way around. One encouragement and 10 corrections. No wonder our children are discouraged. We feed them, clothe them, educate them and push them to get good marks and all that. But the most important thing is to encourage them. Correct them and encourage them. Boy, that's great. You know, like a little child comes to you and says, Dad, I discovered today C-A-T is cat. Wow! You say, really? Do you react like that to your child? Or do you say, oh, I knew that long ago. That's the way to drive your child away. Be excited when he says, 4 fours are 16, Dad. Did you know that? Oh, really? You got to be a good father to your parents, to your children. Train up your child the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Yeah. We want our children to grow up and teach them the scriptures. Teach them the instruction of the Lord, fathers especially. Give them a picture Bible to read on their own and ask them questions. Don't ask them complicated questions of the sovereignty of God and all that. Just ask them simple things like, which they can understand, you know, who is Jesus' mother? And ask them easy things which they can answer. And who was Mary married to? And little things like that. And like that, go on to ask other things. You know how many books there are in the Bible? Things like that. And stimulate an interest in them to study the scriptures, to know the scriptures. And then as they grow up, you can teach the principles of scripture. Why don't we cheat? Why don't we fight back with people who fight with us?